The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. 10th Canto, Chapter Number 3, Text Number 41. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari. Recorded on November 10th, 2013, in Tallinn, Estonia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, rather 10th Canto, Chapter 3, Text Number 41.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Adrishtva Anyatamam Loke Shila Adaryo Gunai Samam Aham Sutta Vam Abhavam Prishnigarbha Iti Shruta Adrishtvanyataman Loke Shilaudharya Gunai Samam Aham sutovam abhavam Prishnigarbha iti shruta Adrishtvan yatamang loke Shilaudharya gunai samam Aham sutovam abhavam Prishnigarbha iti shruta Adrishtva Not finding Anyatamam Anyone else Loke In this world, Shila, Aldarya, Gunai, with the transcendental qualities of good character and magnanimity. Samam, equal to you. I Sutta the Son Vam of both of you Abhavam became Prishnigarbha celebrated as born of Prishni. Iti thus Shruta I am known. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Since I found no one else as highly elevated as you in simplicity and other qualities of good character, I appeared in this world as Prishnigarbha, or one who was celebrated as having taken birth from Prishni. Purport. In the Treta Yuga, the Lord appeared as Prishnigarbha. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Prishnigarbha iti soyang Treta Yuga vrato las galakshyate.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Parakamalam
Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Tamsa Jeevam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Badan Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishagan Vitamstra Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtanjali Satarine.
So, if one becomes very highly elevated in character, if one becomes the pure devotee of the Lord, then Krishna blesses such a devotee with his divine presence. To have the Sangha of Krishna, that is the greatest achievement. To be able to directly associate with Krishna, there is no greater thing that one can attain. So, how can we reach that state? Srila Prabhupada one time wrote me a very nice letter. He told me this. He said, if you will simply serve the Lord with full sincerity of attitude 24 hours a day, then Krishna will personally come to you and he'll answer all of your questions. Now that has got to be a very profound instruction from Prabhupada. Just imagine if Krishna, you actually became qualified, that Krishna personally came to you and answered all your questions. So is it possible to achieve such a state? Sure. It's not some impossible thing. One can actually become qualified that Krishna will personally come and answer all of your questions. As Prabhupada told me, you simply have to be engaged with full sincerity of attitude 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. So how can we... He didn't say sincerity, he said full sincerity. So that gives the idea that there's partial sincerity and there's no sincerity, there's partial sincerity and there's full sincerity. So certainly we are sincere to be here. We're not being paid to be here, you see. But when our sincerity becomes full sincerity, then Krishna becomes manifest. So now we have to see, how can I become more and more sincere about this process of Krishna consciousness? So how do we do that? How do we increase our sincerity? The most important ingredient for sincerity is humility. Because at the present moment, we're very puffed up. We're very, very proud, you see. That is our lack of sincerity. The more one feels very meek and humble, the more one feels that I need to be corrected by the Vaishnavas, the more one feels that, you know, I'm so contaminated, I shouldn't even be allowed in this temple, I'm so contaminated.
Когда мы будем чувствовать, что мы настолько оскорблены, что мы даже недостойны быть в этом храме.
But the devotees are so kindly allowing me to come. I'm full of lust. I'm full of anger. I'm full of greed. I'm illusioned. I'm crazy. I'm lazy. I'm envious. I have all these horrible qualities. But yet the devotees are so kind, they welcome me. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Hare Krishna Mataji. They welcome me here, you see. So just see how kind the devotees are, you see. So we really have to develop this feeling of complete, total humility. That I have no good qualities. Gopinath mama nivedana shuno vishaya chadiya at vishayas. What is it? Vishaya sada kamarata kichu nahi moraguna kichu no nahi moraguna. Moraguna means my good qualities.
Moraguna means my good qualities.
Nahi means no. Nahi moraguna. I have no good qualities, you see. This is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur is singing, you see. We have to enter into this mood. Haribo. Yeah, we have to tune in and enter into this mood. Not let our minds go wandering here and there and everywhere, you see. We have to learn the art of intensely hearing. Because of our, you know, we have a lackadaisical mental state, our mind is kind of lazy, it wants to go floating here, floating there, you see. This the mind has to be tamed, you see, it's like a wild horse. In the old days in Texas, out on the prairie, they had all these wild horses, you see. They weren't tamed, somebody could ride them, you see, they were wild horses. They called them broncos. Bronco, yeah, broncos. So the cowboy, he would capture one of these broncos, wild broncos, you see. He put him inside a fence, it's called a corral, a big high fence. And then he would get on the back of the horse to try to tame it so it could be a useful horse for riding on it. He would sit on the back of the horse. But the horse didn't like it. He's a wild horse. He doesn't want any man sitting on his back, you know, and get out of here. So that horse, he would try to throw the rider off. He would throw his back legs up in the air. He'd take his back legs and go boom, boom, like that. It had to throw the rider off, you see. It's called a bucking bronco. He bucks, boom, like that. Throw the rider off, you know. And the cowboy is more determined than the horse, though. He gets thrown off a few times, you see. But after he's thrown off, he gets back on that horse. He gets off, he shows the horse that I'm the master, not you. In this way, finally the horse becomes tamed. He becomes a useful riding horse. You see. So what is this simile? Our minds are like bucking broncos. You see. We try to fix them on Krishna and they go
poof.
We try to fix the mind on the Bhagavatam class and it goes
poof.
It says, no, I don't want to hear the Bhagavatam. No, I don't want to be corrected by this devotee. You see, just want to throw it off. You see. So we have to be like that cowboy. Okay, mind, you're not the master anymore. My dear mind, you have to understand now, I am the master and you're going to do what I tell you to do, mind. Mind, it is now Bhagavatam class and you are going to pay attention, mind. You're not going flying here and flying there. You're going to focus and you're going to pay attention on this class. In this way, you have to be the master of your mind. You have to bring your mind under control, you see. Sometimes they say that this Hare Krishna movement is a cult. That these evil cult leaders, the gurus, you see, they bring you under control, they control your mind. They hypnotize you and control your mind. But actually that's not true. We train you how to control your mind. We don't control your minds. We teach you how to control your mind. You see? We don't bring you under, we don't make you and turn you into slaves. Slaves of the cult. We teach you how to be a liberated person. Free from the influence of Rajagun, Tamagun, and Sattvagun. So, by in this way, you see, by bringing that mind under control, the mind is puffed up, conceited. Conceited is another word for it in English. Conceited, puffed up, same word. It's a synonym for puffed up. Conceited, very proud. You see. So, by bringing that mind under control, gradually the mind can cultivate humility. The best guidance. Many people ask me about how to become humble. The best instruction is really right there in the Sikshastakam. One should think he's lower than the straw in the street. He should be ready to off. He should feel himself. He should be more taller than a tree. He should offer all respect to others, even if he doesn't get any respect for himself. You see. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. That means that even if I disrespect you like anything, you'll be respectful. You see. Even if you disrespect me like anything, even if you're very, very offensive to me, you see, still I offer my respect to you. That is humility, you see. So we have to learn how to be truly humble, you see. Not that, you know, our feathers get ruffled very easily. Feathers get ruffled, you know what that is? Well, anybody can translate the ruffling of the feathers? My feathers get ruffled very easily. I become agitated very easily. I immediately get very angry, you see. No, not like them, you see. We have to be very careful. Sometimes devotees actually become very offensive. One devotee will say something, another devotee will misunderstand it, and he becomes very offensive. Actually, it was his misunderstanding. He thought a devotee was saying this, a devotee didn't actually say that, and he gets all disturbed about something that never even happened.
Он думает, что преданный сказал то, чего на самом деле он не говорил, но приходит беспокойство из-за того, что даже не случилось на самом деле.
He imagines that some devotee did something wrong, even though the devotee didn't do anything wrong.
Он представляет, что преданный как будто что-то плохо сделал, хотя на самом деле он ничего даже не делал.
And he becomes very disturbed over the so-called wrong that was done to him.
И он очень беспокоится по поводу того, что так называемого.
So we really have to become very humble and think, if I'm being corrected, I must be doing something wrong. That, no, this person is correcting me, they're wrong. You don't become humble in that mood, you see. If somebody is correcting me, I have to think, I'm sure I've done. There must be something wrong with me. That's why this correction is coming to me by Krishna's mercy. So by cultivating, you know, first-class humility, that is part of being sincere devotee, you see. Because sincerity and false ego do not mix. So to be completely or fully sincere, as Prabhupada told me, means you have to become perfect in humility. If there's any tinge of false ego, Krishna is not going to come, you see. But when we become completely, absolutely pure, then Krishna will come. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daivar hidayeshu valoka yanti yang shama shundaram chintna gunasvarupam govindam adi purusham tam mahamajami. I worship Govinda, the prime evil lord, whom the pure devotees see, and who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself. Whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. So we have to come to that standard. We have to have the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So where do you get that salve of love? In Sanskrit, premanjana. Where can I get some? I could really use some of that premanjana. Right now I just see earth, water, fire, air, ether. I'd like to see Krishna, but now I'm just seeing this gross material energy. So where can I get that premanjana so I can purify my eyes to see Krishna? Well, you know, our Prabhupada, when he was a householder, he was a pharmacist. You may have heard Prayag Pharmacy, yeah. So, Prabhupada actually is still a pharmacist. But now he only has one medicine. It's premanjana, the salve of love. And ISKCON is the dispensary, is the pharmacy or the for this medicine. Last night we found out this temple is an airport. Now this morning we find out that it's also a pharmacy. This temple is really amazing. It has all kinds of mystical qualities. It's an airport, it's a pharmacy. Actually, sometimes they have pharmacies at the airport, you've seen. So this pharmacy has one medicine and one medicine only. That is the ointment of love of God. It's meant to be applied to the eyes. So how do you apply it? Normally you take an eye ointment, you know, and you put it in your eyes, you know, blink a little bit. Normally you do like that. But this eye ointment is very different. This eye ointment is applied through the ears. By taking in Krishna Katha, you see? The kirtan, the classes, you see? The japa, you see? You take the Shabda Brahma through your ears. Now, you better be very careful. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other, okay? You take it into the ears and take it all the way deep, deep, deep into your heart. This is why I want everybody to be awake in the class. So the Prem Anjana will go in. If you're too sleepy, you can stand up.
You see?
If one cannot hear the class because they're falling asleep, they can stand up in the class. It's okay to stand up. It's like during japa. Sometimes we have to stand up during japa so we don't fall asleep. So one can also stand up in the class if they're getting too sleepy. The thing is, we want to take the transcendental Shabda Brahma, transcendental sound vibrations. Take them in through both ears and go deep, deep, deep into the heart. That's how the Prem Anjana actually purifies our eyes. By quality hearing, you develop transcendental vision. And gradually, when that vision becomes perfect, then you're able to see Krishna directly in front of you. You can see Krishna everywhere, playing his flute. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Prabhupada, in one of the purports, I think it's Bhagavatam, he's saying about simplicity.
What word?
Simplicity.
Simplicity.
And he describes simplicity as simplicity. It means to be so straightforward that one can disclose the real truth even to an enemy.
Yeah.
Or it's from Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, okay.
So what he means telling the real truth?
Yeah.
Disclose.
What is that real truth that one discloses to the enemy?
А можешь перевести сам? Или как в суплесте, что это было?
Простота.
Как?
Простота.
А, Прабхупада в комментарии в Бхагавад-гите определяет простоту таким образом, что простота — это когда абсолютную правду человек может рассказать даже самому врагу. Да?
You can tell them you're the eternal servant of Krishna.
Вы можете говорить им, что они вечные слуги Кришны.
My dear sir, you're actually the eternal servant of Krishna. You've forgotten it, but actually you're the eternal servant of Krishna. That's the real truth. Even if that person is my enemy, I can tell him, actually you're the eternal servant of Krishna. Why are you my enemy? There's no reason for you to fight with me. We're both eternal associates of the kingdom of God. We're not actually enemies. For you to fight with me as an enemy doesn't make any sense, because we're eternal associates of the spiritual world. Simply we've forgotten it, that's all. Next. Yeah.
I was asking, you were talking about humility. So a correction. So when it comes only from the spiritual master, we should be humbly taking, or otherwise we...
Okay, translate.
Personal or...
Or some others.
Yeah.
Okay, translate. Can we take corrections only from the guru and not from others? That's the question.
That's the time we become humble.
Yeah. Should we be humble when Guru instructs and when others instruct? We should not be humble. That's the question. One has to understand the meaning of Guru, first of all. We have one Guru, and that is the our one who initiates us. He is called Diksha Guru. But others who also present the pure teachings of Srila Prabhupada, you see, they are our Siksha Guru. So, we have to take instruction from Diksha and Siksha Guru. Not that I only hear from my initiating Guru and no one else, you see. Actually, there was one boy who was like that. He only wanted to hear from Prabhupada. You know what Prabhupada told him? He said, earn money and enjoy. In other words, get out of here. I don't want you in this movement. Prabhupada is very heavy. The darshan is a tape you can hear. It's in the Veda base. I know the devotee's name. They didn't put his name in the Veda base. I know who he is. He was in our temple at one time. And Prabhupada actually told him to go. He said, just earn money and enjoy. In other words, get out of here. We don't want you around here. So one has to learn to not only hear from one's spiritual master, but other senior Vaishnavas who are qualified to instruct us. We have to hear from them as well. We have the GBC, we have sannyasis, we have temple president. You know, we have different senior devotees. We have to hear from them. One time they asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, when you're not here, how will we know when you're pleased? Prabhupada said the GBC and the temple presidents are there. So the temple presidents, the GBC, they represent Srila Prabhupada. The training I had as a brahmachari was this, you see. You have to please your temple president because he is the representative of Prabhupada. That's how I was trained. Not that I only hear from Prabhupada. I hear from other senior devotees who represent Srila Prabhupada. So in our present society, we have to hear from this kind of authorities, we have to hear from our guru, and we have to hear from persons who represent our guru also. Just like in my case, I have my wife assists me in preaching. Guru Mata, she's Guru Mata for my disciples. My disciples have to take instructions from her, their Guru Mata also. Some may say, oh, no, I just want to take it from Guru, not from Guru, from Gurudev, not from Guru Mata. But I beg such persons to kindly read the Krishna book. Krishna had a Gurudev and a Guru Mata also. If whose instruction was Krishna following when he went to gather firewood in the forest? He was following Guru Mata's instructions. So we see from the example of Krishna book that Krishna not only followed Guru, but he also followed Guru Mata. Just like a son growing up in the home, he obeys his mother and his father both. Not that he can obey his father and disobey his mother, you see.
Yeah.
So in this way, we shouldn't be some kind of fanatical, you know, Gurudev consciousness. That I'm the best disciple of Gurudev, but I don't hear from anybody else. That means we're just a disciple of our own minds.
на самом деле значит, что мы просто ученики своего ума.
Does that make it clear? Okay, next question. Wow. Yeah.
Когда у преданных проявляется какая-то анархия, и вот преданный, допустим, кто-то сильно зависает на этом и думает, вот я такой паша, он думает об этом, он как бы зависит, да. А кто-то, он наоборот говорит, что а, не, я не анарх, я не тело, я душа. И он как бы не обращает внимания и как бы не делает работу над этой анархией. То есть, как бы, а какое настроение правильное?
So sometimes it's there is some anarchas, and sometimes devotee he is thinking, oh.
Yeah, sometimes anarchas.
No, there are anarchas, and sometimes devotee think that oh my anarchas, and he is like always in this mood. My anarchas, what I gonna do? Or sometimes devotee think like, oh, okay, I'm not this body, I'm not this anarchas, and don't do like any work with them. But what is like right mood with this?
I'm a little confused by the question. You understand the question? Yeah. Come and tell me.
The question is that, well, there is this, I have many anarthas,
right,
bad qualities, and then I feel myself I'm very, very low,
right,
and humble and like you know, immersed in this kind of consciousness. But then there is this kind of mood that, I know, I have many bad qualities and anarthas, but then I'm thinking that, well, actually I'm a spirit soul, and spirit soul is pure.
That's right.
And so I don't pay attention to them, and actually I am not... I'm not putting any effort into correcting these anarthas. So which consciousness is better to understand properly? Which is the right mood?
And the proper mood is to understand, yes, I am a pure spirit soul. These anarthas, these material desires, this dirt I have, it's not actually me. It's getting in the way of me being who I actually am. The anarthas are interfering with me being my actual pure self. So I have to throw these anarthas away. I can't ignore them. I have to see them and recognize them. They are enemies. If an enemy enters your house, you have to be able to distinguish between your enemy and your family members who are living in the house also. It's like here, you have a family of brahmacharis living together. If some enemy comes in the middle of the night, you have to take a gun and put it at his head and get him out of here, right? So you have to see who the actual enemy is, so you can not thinking that you know, Lila Suk is the enemy or something like that. You have to recognize the actual enemy and get him out, call the police, tie him up, get him out of here. So your nard is an enemy. You have to recognize him so you can subdue him. If you just say, you know, it's all, I'm a pure devotee, it's all one, you know, and then you have all these thieves going around the temple, you know, stealing everything. Your anarthas are stealing your spiritual energy right now. So you need to recognize them, you need to get them out. They're like parasites on your consciousness. It's like you have a parasite in your gut, a worm, it eats your energy away. You got to get the parasites out of your body. So you have to recognize, you have to learn to see your anarthas. I'll give you an example. There's four types of competence. You know the word competence? The ability to do something. A competent person, he's expert. Competence, okay. So there's what's called unconscious incompetence. I'm not competent, I'm not even aware of my incompetence.
То есть я некомпетентный, я даже не понимаю, что некомпетентный.
That's the worst state to be in.
Это самое худшее.
It's like I'm dreaming I'm a pure devotee, I'm a great Paramahamsa.
Как я мечтаю, что я великий Парамахамса.
But I'm actually nothing but a troublemaker in the community of devotees.
Я не более чем проблема в обществе преданных.
But I'm thinking I'm a great Paramahamsa.
Я думаю, что я великий Парамахамса.
This is called unconscious incompetence. Now, when I, by hearing from guru and senior devotees who point out to me what a rascal I am, then I gradually realize that I'm incompetent. I'm a nonsense. I'm a rascal. I'm not a Paramahamsa. You see? So now I'm conscious of my incompetence. So now I'm better, I'm more advanced. In the beginning I was dreaming I was a Paramahamsa. But I was simply, frankly, a Rakshasa.
You see?
Now I know I'm a rascal. I'm actually advancing. I'm becoming a humble devotee by knowing that I'm a rascal. And then from conscious incompetence, I can go to conscious competence. I'm able to take up consciously, you know, follow the instructions of the of Rupa Goswami, of Srila Prabhupada, of my of the authorities, of my spiritual master, and do what's right. And then of course there's the higher level, which is called Raganuga. Or Raga Bhakti, yeah. Where you're competent without even being conscious of it anymore. It just happens automatically. That's a liberated state. So the first thing is you have to see your anarthas. You have to see them. If you don't see your anarthas, you'll never conquer them. Some devotees point out your faults. You shouldn't be angry. You should be grateful. Oh, I'm blessed. This devotee has pointed out my faults. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope that makes it clear. Yeah. Okay, next question. Oh my God. Time is up. Time is it. One more question? All right, one more question. Yeah.
One time you wrote in your internet like this that to this madness we like replace with knowing the Vedic truth, and delusion we replace with knowing transcendental knowledge. But what is different between this Vedic wisdom and transcendental knowledge?
What is the difference between Vedic wisdom and transcendental knowledge? Actually, they are the same. The essence of Vedic knowledge is transcendental knowledge. The Vedas prescribe many things also that are mundane. Just like the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. How to get material results by doing different rituals. So the Vedic knowledge has mundane knowledge and transcendental knowledge within it. But the essence of Vedic knowledge is transcendental knowledge. As confirmed by Krishna. He says, Vedaishta sarvaraham eva vejo, Vedanta krid eva vid eva chaham. By all the Vedas, I am to be known.
Благодаря всем Ведам, познаюсь я.
So the Vedas actually are meant, the ultimate goal of all the Vedic wisdom is to bring us to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. I hope that clarifies it for you. Okay, so we thank you all very much. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.